Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Did you see the surveillance video of this 75-year-old pharmacist who had to tackle a 21-year-old codeine cough syrup robber?
Yes, pretty impressive.
We're getting the pharmacist on the line, right?
Seriously?
Yeah. It's really busy at the pharmacy today because it's the first of the month, I guess. But, the story that's down in Pierce County, and some 21-year-old guy just walked behind the counter in the pharmacy and started loading up a bag with codeine cough syrup. And the 75-year-old pharmacist, he tackles the kid and takes him to the ground. And I want to be doing stuff like that when I'm 75 years old. Okay, they're really busy there. But he's going to talk to us for a couple of minutes here. The pharmacist's name is Don Zimmerman. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Don, how's it going there?
Busy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Walk me through this chronologically. What happened with this 21-year-old guy who was back among your wares there?
Okay. Well, the story goes that he'd gotten some heroin from a Mexican connection there, and he didn't pay for it here, and so there's a term, according to the police sergeant here, where they, if in fact they're late on their payment here, they threaten, and this guy said the Mexicans threatened to kill him because he didn't pay for his heroin. So he comes in through the back door, which we leave open, we can't tell recently, because we have deliveries during the day, and we were extremely busy at that time. We have 12 people working the pharmacy, except on Saturdays, and he came in on Saturdays, and we had 7 people working, and he walked behind the other pharmacist and myself, and nobody saw him, and he walked in right through the pharmacy there, because we were busy with customers, and two of the technicians were saying, and when I came back to work there, I heard him saying, off to the side here, he says, "Who's that guy?" You know, and they said, "Don, who's that guy?" So I look out in the store, and I don't know who they're talking about. I said, "Who are you talking about?" And he said, "The guy that's back here." I said, "What do you mean there's a guy back here?" So I walked over there, and he was coming around the corner at the time, and it was just a reflexive deal. He came over with his head down, and I didn't realize he had a Ku Klux Klan mask on. So
I
saw the mask.
Let me make sure I understand this. So his drug dealer threatened his life and said, "You can pay me if you go steal codeine cough syrup." So this was what he had to
do. Codeine's a new hot one. It's a new trend. It has been for 6 months. They send out, the health department send out about the new wave of drug abuse here.
Okay.
AmericanAddictionCenters.org will tell you about it if you're interested.
Okay. All right. So you see that, and what does he have, a bag full of this codeine cough syrup?
Yes. And what about it?
Well,
I'm sorry, somebody was talking to me.
Oh, no problem. So you see this guy, and it's no secret. I saw this in a news story. You're a 75-year-old guy, right?
Yeah.
You're 75.
You know, I got people talking in the background, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I know it's busy in the first of the month. So you're a 75-year-old guy. How old was the thief?
Well, what happened was he showed up. He was 21. You know, I thought he was 23 or 24 because I have a 21-year-old lady that said he went to school. He's a couple grades ahead of her, so I figured he was 23.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what made this story the difference, that 52 years age difference was a factor that it doesn't happen all the time, but we were fortunate on this one.
Well, so I saw the surveillance video. You didn't hesitate, man. You threw your arm around his neck, and you took him to the ground right away, didn't you?
That's correct, yeah.
And did people jump in right away to help you?
No. We were doing battle. My pharmacist, Dave, we're stuck in the doorway, so we couldn't help for a few minutes. And so we're wrestling into the back room, and then Dave came around and added some weight. He's a big guy, about, you know, over 250, I think. And so he jumped on me, but this guy wasn't very tall. He was young, but not a tall guy, but pretty well built. And so was, when he jumped on me, he pinned my arm, so I couldn't. I was holding him by my left arm here, and so I couldn't get my right hand up to lock it with my left hand and put some pressure on the guy.
Okay.
So anyway, I was holding him with my left hand, and
but you know, still, so, when you're a 75-year-old guy and the thief is 21, that's pretty impressive, Don, that you can still take care of yourself like that.
You know, it's just a matter of. You know, it's just the values that I was taught because I'm an old man. You know, I don't steal from anybody, and I don't like them stealing from me. So.
Yeah. So, and I'll turn you loose here in just a second. So what do you think's going to happen to this guy?
Well, he's already on an arraignment here. My understanding was yesterday, and so we're looking up the minimum jail sentence. I think one of the other pharmacists told me when he looked it up was something like 48. Is that right? 48 months?
44.
44 months or above.
44
depending
months.
On his record, probably.
Okay, well, at least his heroin dealer won't be able to get at him and kill him those 44 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, I'm glad you had some customers that were willing to help you, and I'm glad that you were confident enough to take on a guy 54 years younger than you, Don. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, okay. Very good.
I'll let you get back to work, Don. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have a feeling if I made a list of 100 things that Don could be doing right now, radio interview would have been number 100 on that list.
I don't think he likes to have a whole lot of attention. He's just like, yep, I have worked all my life. I don't steal from others, and I don't want them stealing from me.
I like him anyway. So that's Don down there in Pierce County. Up next in the Fastest 15... So King County has come up with quite the idea. They think that some people aren't voting because they have to put a stamp on the ballot. And so at a time when we are running a huge deficit, we're told that we don't have enough prosecutors to go after criminals. We're told that we don't have enough cops to investigate crimes on the street. But the county council now wants to make all ballots prepaid, which would cost over $1 million a year. They're $25 million short in the general fund, which is mind-blowing because your property tax bill has probably gone up by thousands of dollars. And the fact that they're $25 million short in King County when they are collecting all-time record revenues shows just how crazy they spend our money. And now they want to prepay the ballots. What's a stamp? 49 cents now?
Yes. Has anyone cited the cost of postage as the reason they don't vote?
They say that in a small experiment last year, when postage was free on mail-in ballots, they saw a 6 to 10% increase.
But it's not because they can't afford it. It's because they're lazy.
Right. Exactly.
Ridiculous. They don't want to go buy postage.
And they're those drop boxes, ballot drop boxes all around.
Yes.
And if you don't want to pay postage, just drop it in one of the boxes and you don't have to. And you know what's really at play here, though? Because some statewide elections are on these ballots. And they want King County to have even more. I mean, King County decides who wins the governor's race, who wins the attorney general's race. And they want King County to have even more of a say in statewide issues. Because the rest
you
of the state
make
is,
a good point.
The rest of the state is a little more conservative. And I'm sure that this is just a bunch of whack jobs in King County who are saying, let's be even more dominant here. If 49 cents is keeping you from voting, you shouldn't vote. We don't need your vote.
Well, it sounds like the Secretary of State wants to put it on hold so that the whole state can do this. So she is actually in support of the idea, and she's a Republican. She's in support of the idea.
Yeah, I like Kim Wyman. She's a good friend to our show.
Yes, but she says that instead of just making it in King County, it should be statewide so that, you know, everyone, it's like not just King County that has easy access.
She said if you're going to do it, if then you have to make it fair.
Okay, but if the whole point is that the taxpayers are going to pay for the postage, why can't all of us taxpayers pay for our own postage? It's like that crazy license plate thing. I got the person from the Department of Licensing yesterday where they're charging if somebody who has a Purple Heart has two sets of license plates, they're charging them $30 a year for the second set of plates. And the woman at the DOL said, but that $30 goes to Veterans Affairs. And I said, well, why don't you just let the Purple Heart veterans keep their $30
right.
and get the state out as a middleman with all the bureaucracy? And, yeah, prepaid ballots. We're so lazy around here. And you know what? You get what you vote for, and you vote for based on your level of interest and diligence. And if you're too lazy to vote because you don't want to put a stamp on, just don't vote. We don't need you. Next up in the Fastest 15. I haven't watched. Have you been watching, Nicole? I know you were a big fan of the first night of Roseanne.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm
still watching.
And it's still good.
Is it?
Yes.
You see the ratings? 27 million viewers. It's like the biggest sitcom hit in decades.
It's still funny.
You're still watching?
So I don't get to watch it when it. Yeah. So I go back on demand. And so I've caught up. Yes.
I saw the season opener. I was okay with it, but I didn't. Yeah, don't really have a need.
What did you like Roseanne before?
Never saw it.
Okay, well that's why.
I just tuned it in a few weeks ago to see what all the fuss was about.
This wouldn't be one I would recommend for you.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd be that into it. It's not actually as political as it got a reputation for being from the first episode. But.
Well, she was on with Jimmy Fallon last night, and they talked about the ratings, but then they talked about the fact that her character and Roseanne herself are fans of Trump.
It couldn't be a bigger thing, but then also with a big hit comes people that aren't so happy as well. If you say that you're a supporter of Donald Trump or...
Oh, yeah, people are mad about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't give a...
Yeah. I mean, is that how you deal with it?
I mean, everybody has to... Well, everybody had to choose for themselves, according to their own conscience,
sure.
who they thought was the lesser of two evils. You know, everybody chose that, so I'm not going to put anybody down who didn't vote like me. This is America. It's a free country. And, you know, when you weigh it all together, you know, I just felt like we needed a whole new thing all the way, bottom to top.
She's a very rare individual in Hollywood who's willing to say that she voted for Trump. And then, you know, this whole thing with Kanye West, who's just... He loves being at the center of controversy, and he decided, well, what could be more controversial with my fans and with the African-American community that, you know, many of whom can't stand the president? What could be more controversial than being a Trump supporter? So a few days ago, Kanye was all over Twitter with his autographed Make America Great Again baseball cap, and he's been talking Trump up on Twitter the last few days. And now he may pay for it, Ursula.
How?
With his life.
What?
Yeah, a rapper has put a hit out on Kanye. His name is Daz Dillinger. He's a former member of Snoop Dogg's entourage. And he is calling on the Crips gang to go after Kanye for being a Trump supporter.
National alert. All the Crips out there, y'all Kanye up. You see them his ass up on GP. It's Crips. We're going to show you how we...
By the way, did you know what GP is?
Mm-mm.
He said, you see that bleeper bleep his ass up on GP. General principles. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm learning some street lingo.
Is this Daz from the Dog Pound?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's that Daz.
I recognize that name from some of Snoop's songs.
Yeah, well, he's once Kanye dead now.
I think we should call it a Kanye-traversy whenever we talk about Kanye West controversies. Kanye-traversies.
I think we should just call it that on GP.
Totally, dude. Yeah.
Come together and ride on your You know what I'm saying? So better not ever see you in concert. Better not ever see you around the LBC. You better not ever see you.
LBC. Anybody know?
Long Beach, California.
Sean DeTorn's the winner.
I'm a hip hop head.
Yeah, if Daz sees Kanye around LBC, he's going to kill him on GP.
OMG.
Around California. Stay in Calabasas. You hear me? Because we got a Crip alert for Kanye. You don't speak on Crip, God. The Crip gods, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, what's a Crip god to your god? Where you at right now?
I think I've heard enough of this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is this Daz or is this Kanye?
This is Snoop.
Okay. Are you sure we're okay?
Yeah, this is clean.
Makes me very nervous. We tried to find a Kanye song today, and I felt very uncomfortable with
this. This has been in the system for years. It's okay. Totally clean.
All right.
Well,
anyway, so the Crips have a hit out on Kanye if he goes into LBC now. So it goes.
And we're told it's real.
Okay, and... Yes, of course it's real. Everything. We don't do fake news
that's,
here.
No, but that's the latest, is some other rappers are like, no, this is real. Don't be messing around.
Well, of course. Everything's real. It's life, man. And then one other thing from the world of music. I mentioned that week before last, EDM... superstar DJ Avicii committed suicide. And I told you that it really... I was with two of my daughters down in Arizona, and I was surprised how big a deal they thought this was when they heard Avicii died. We didn't know that he had killed himself.
So young and so talented. I mean, he was so young.
Did you... Yeah, 28 years old, had tried to give up the biz because he said it was killing him, because he had horrible battles with alcohol and... It had its gallbladder and appendix removed and had pancreatitis. Did you hear how he killed himself? They just revealed this.
I did.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I cannot think of what kind of depths of pain somebody would be in. He was in Oman in the Middle East with some friends, and they say that he broke a wine bottle and used the shards of glass to cut major arteries in his wrist and neck. And I just... That the depth of pain is just absolutely unimaginable.
And I honestly just hate even sharing the details, because any suicide is just, first of all, preventable.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about the details, it's just, it's so personal, too.
Yeah, I understand that. And I probably shouldn't have. It just, there are all these hangers-on, and there's a documentary about him the day after he got out of the hospital. And his eyes are rolling up in his head like he's still all jacked up on opiates.
Well, he was such a tortured soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone who is so talented and yet couldn't, you know, get rid of his demons.
Yeah.
And that's just what happens over and over.
It just seems like everybody around him wanted to drain him dry and take whatever they could out of him and use him up. Because they were just pushing him to stay on the road and touring and all of that. So,
can I do one thing?
Yes.
Just to share with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Sure.
It's 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Always remember, 100% preventable.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And that there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, it's Tuesday afternoon. That means it's time for a weekly visit with Dave Wyman. We'll play a little Name That Artist. Straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show.
I'm sitting here.
You're on your own
with
in here.
No competitor.
You got nothing?
And I can't come up with it.
Man, Dave.
Wait. Aha.
You got it.
Yes.
Nice.
That's a real aha moment for you.
It's the Dory Monson Show. This is Dave Wyman sitting in as Dory is loafing. I don't know what he's doing. I guess he's working, recording something. It's Tuesday, so I'm up one zip.
How's your week going?
I'll name that tune.
2 days in.
It's good. Next week, I have almost the entire week off because of Mariner baseball. But
so spoiled with that schedule.
Yeah, I know. You know, a lot of the other radio hosts used to complain that we have that. Like Groz would say, you know, oh, yeah, it must be nice. And in the beginning, I would say, you know what? I really need the reps because I'm not very good at radio. And that kind of put him off, so now he doesn't say it anymore.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Now it's not true. I don't need the reps.
Now you're really great at it.
You know, there are some times where you guys put in a lot of extra time, though, so I think it evens out.
Yeah, no question. So I don't know what Dory planned to talk about today, but we have so much going on over on the sports side because You had the draft over the weekend, and one of the great stories of all time with Shaquem Griffin, the twin brother of Shaquille Griffin, getting drafted.
Look who it
and,
is.
And guess what? Hey, well, you're down. You're down 0-1, pal.
Yep.
How long
he got it.
Take you? How long did it take you to get the song?
Probably five.
Are you familiar with the band?
Don't tell me. Let me see if I get it quicker than what you got it.
It still won't count. Sorry.
I'm not claiming that it counts. I was out doing a little show production very quickly.
All right, let's see if Dory can get it.
Aha!
You would have got me.
Wow.
That had to
it
be
took
quicker
me a while.
Than you.
You didn't have to really admit to that, Dave.
We would have covered
Oh, I know
for
how
you.
Dory is. He would have gone back and listened.
I would have. Okay, but you still get the tape because you covered for me, or the point, because you covered with me while I was recording something elsewhere. Right. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all stressed out here. I'm all stressed out. Did you get the text I just sent?
Which one?
The one I just sent. You're on the list. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm stressed out. You're going to be here before you know it. Did you get it?
Is it a multi-text?
Yeah.
With a bunch of other people?
It's to 12 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon says she responded via mail.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Via mail. Okay. My daughter's wedding's in 2.5 weeks. And so I get an email from her about all the people on my list of guests who haven't yet RSVP'd, and there's like 12 or 13 people, and we need to get a head count. And so now I'm texting everybody. And
via
is that
mail?
Rude?
How did you do it via mail? Because it said on there to RSVP via a website.
Yeah, there's only a website.
Oh.
There's no mail.
Maybe
RSVP.
She's talking about another wedding she responded to. I don't know. That's what she said. Or maybe it was via email.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Why don't you just, you know what? I don't have to come. Save you a couple $100.
No. I want you there. I want you there.
I feel sorry. I was part of that, you know, going through my wedding. It's like how many per head? And
oh,
like,
I know.
I don't care if I get invited to weddings.
But is that, because I don't know basic etiquette. Is that rude that I'm now texting people 2.5 weeks out, or is that acceptable?
It happens.
It's not rude?
No, it's not.
Well, there
rude.
Might be a glitch. So let's get to the bottom of this.
Well, yeah. Ursula, for instance, missed the website where it said to RSVP on. So,
okay.
You know, you're just making sure
Have
people
you thought
saw.
About the fact that you're going to be a grandpa here pretty soon?
No, I'm not.
Sure you are.
No, I asked her when we were in Arizona a couple weeks ago. I said, when are you guys thinking about kids? She said, not for a while.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So
accidents happen.
No, I just can't believe I'm going to be a father-in-law. That's the part that... Because that's for sure, and that's coming in 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Dave acting like he doesn't care if he comes or not might be on the rude side.
Is that rude?
Don't invite me.
No, I'm saying it from the standpoint of, look, I'll save you some money.
I think I'm
willing to hook a brother up.
I think it's a fixed cost at this point.
Okay.
So,
well, I definitely want to be there.
I'm partying with
you, Dory.
All right, just want to make sure. So, then Matt Johnson.
I'm going to get hammered. I'm going to get my money's worth.
Matt Johnson, he responds to the text, and all he said was, yes, you are being pushy, and didn't say if he's coming or not. Oh, so no. Now I have to text him again, and it's just a little too much. Now, and then I'm going to go and get my suit after the show today, and Nicole will tell you that the last thing I like is having anything on my calendar after the show. I like finishing the show and going and just taking it easy.
Mm-hmm. Now you got to go get fitted for a suit?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a suit.
But that's the okay. Here, okay. Let's talk about this. I know we got some Seahawks stuff.
Therapy with Dave.
Yes, I never wear suits. I just don't have occasion. I have a couple of nice sport coats, and that I can dress up with nice slacks. But how much? What's a
slacks?
What's a good budget?
A budget
for your daughter's wedding for something that you may not have occasion? Because I structured my life so that I never have to wear suits.
I'll say this. I haven't bought a suit in a while. I'd say, like Men's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want to go to Nordstrom, but you can probably get a nice suit for $500.
Okay.
A nice one.
So if it's $500 and I'm not going to wear it anytime again soon, why don't I just rent one?
Okay.
Should I do that?
Yeah.
You could, but it's going to be almost the same amount, probably.
Yeah. Just go to Goodwill. I got a nice suit jacket there for $40, maybe $20.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got a picture of myself in it. It looks very nice.
Okay, well,
only
take
problem
a
is Sean looks like Brockmeyer. He's got
what
he's
is
got
that?
The plaid. It's the plaid, the big plaid, obnoxious one.
Oh, man. So anyway, that's what's going on. I just want you to know why I'm all stressed out here today.
Now I know why.
Because we're getting close to... When do you think,
I don't blame you.
When do you think that's going to get
Never.
Old?
Never. No, I'm with you, man. Your daughter's getting married. It's stressful, and I feel bad that you had to chase me down for it, but I'm really irresponsible.
Well, Moyer's on the list. Brock's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Johnson's on the list. It's like all my Seahawk buddies are on the list. And I would think that you could just ease my stress by being a little more prompt.
Moyer has a list. It's a different kind of list.
What's
I always
list?
Joke that, like, if somebody gets sideways with him, you just made the list. People he wants to kill.
Does he have a list of that?
No, I don't. I just, in my head, I think that Moyer.
I know one person on that list.
me too. He gets sideways every once in a while. You just made the list.
When Paul was coaching with me, coaching girls basketball, if I hadn't stepped between him and another coach, Paul would have killed the guy in the post-game handshake.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He was ready to go. And I'm just this little guy, and I'm throwing myself in between Paul and this other guy to save the other guy's life.
Right. A listener just texted in that you can rent a very nice Calvin Klein suit from Men's Warehouse for $160, including shoes.
Oh, wow. There you go.
But maybe I need to have a suit. I don't know.
You got a couple more weddings, probably.
What's
ahead of you?
My life's
I look
all
forward to seeing up. You in a rent a suit.
That's the other thing. I don't like putting on pants that some other man has worn.
Somebody else's boys were in there.
Yeah. There's nothing between me and them but a thin layer of gabardine. Okay, let me take a quick time out. We do have a lot of stuff. The NFL draft last weekend. Red-haired guy.
Simple.
No.
Simply
no.
Red.
No.
Oh.
No, it's.
I don't want to say the first name.
Rick Astley. Rick Astley.
Yes. I knew it was Rick.
Rick Astley. Oh.
You guys, I just Rick-rolled you.
Yes, you did.
That was the funniest one, though, seeing you two like that. I wish that, there is a camera, actually. We're on Facebook Live.
Yeah, if you want
to
watch
us. Look at that reaction.
And go to My Northwest and pull up the live cam. Okay, Dave Wyman's here. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
Dire Straits. Yeah. Got it. This is a great song, too. Best I can do is tie now. As Dave Wyman takes a 2-1 lead. The Seahawk draft, the feel-good story maybe of the entire NFL draft. Dave and I were down in Tacoma with a bunch of Seahawk fans on Saturday morning and afternoon. Our buddy Ray Roberts was with us as well. And they were making the pick announcements at this place called the Swiss where we were. And it was just the joy, the emotion when the Seahawks picked Shaquem Griffin, who would be the first one-handed football player in NFL history.
That's like the greatest draft moment since I was drafted myself.
Yes.
It was so cool, man. I remember turning around looking at you and Ray, and I was like, they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's interesting with this guy, you know, he can play. And one of the things about a guy who has one hand, you would think, okay, he's a defender. What would be the one thing that you would think?
Intercepting passes.
Yeah, that's a good one. But another one, missed tackles.
Oh.
And his missed tackle total is like average. It's the same as every other good. There's nothing that stands out about his missed tackle numbers.
Right.
So he has learned how to, and you know, the interceptions too. And he's gotten interceptions. And I saw in the combine he was able to catch the ball. So, you know, he can play. And it's a risk. And I think there's a lot of old school people that think, man, and I would put myself into that category a little bit until now. And because I had to play with my thumb. It was I jammed my thumb in a game, and I used to stand on the sidelines with my hands, or I'm sorry, out in front of the huddle with my hands on my hips,
right.
And my left hand kept slipping off my hip, and I'm like, "What is going on?" I went over to the trainer, and he took my thumb and went, and it touched my wrist because I tore that ligament there. So the next week, I had to play with my thumb just taped down,
right?
So I basically like had like a flipper. Almost.
I want to make sure I understand this. So you're comparing your jammed thumb to a young man who had his hand amputated at age 4.
I'm not doing that at all.
Okay.
But I'm saying that all I had to do was have my thumb taped down and had to, you know, play without a thumb. And I thought it was hard. And so that's why I think a lot of people who have had to go through that think, man, I don't know if you can play without a hand. But he has been doing it his whole life. So now to me, and I'm to the point here where it's not about his hand anymore. It's about whether or not he can make the jump from college to pro.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that to me is, I think it's a great story and really cool. And I'm just happy for his brother and for his mom. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was also fun to see them when they were on stage together and they turned the same way at the same moment.
Yeah.
And it's like that twin thing
right.
where everything's identical. And it's, yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun storyline. Also, I think when you've not had a hand for whatever it's been for him, 17, 18 years now, it's amazing how you can compensate. And,
yeah.
You know, I've talked to blind people who have told me how acute their sense of hearing is because they compensate. And you think about the baseball player, Jim Abbott. Remember him?
Yep.
Jim Abbott only had one arm. His other arm kind of was a nub right above his elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And he would throw a pitch, tuck his mitt or grab his mitt on the follow through from underneath the nubbin arm, and he could field the position. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The way he was able to compensate.
Well, and he'd been doing it his whole life. And so, that was my point. I mean, you know, 1 week of doing that was tough, but, you know, he's been doing it since he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's much of a question as to whether or not that's going to be something. And, you know, I think he's going to be inspiring, you know, obviously to a lot of people that have had, you know, arms
sure.
amputated, things like that. But I think he's also going to be very inspiring to people who think they have it rough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
So he, great kid. I got a chance to meet him down in Jacksonville because he was down on the field. And I'm like, I got to meet this kid because it was inspiring. But also, he's just such a good player. Plus, he's a fellow linebacker. And he ran like the same 40 as his brother. And those two guys playing together. And you think of the future, like Sherm's gone, Bennett's gone. And now you got these two guys are going to be the core of that defense
right.
leadership-wise going forward. And, you know, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. I just think they got a lot better as far as attitude goes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question. One other thing I was going to play for you, Tom Brady, he did an interview yesterday with my old buddy Jim Gray.
Oh, yeah.
And
the nut that you cracked?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And one of the things, listen to his response to this question.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude?
By them, meaning the New England Patriots.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth.
Really?
What's his gripe?
Yeah.
What's his? He's won more Super Bowls than anybody.
Well, didn't they kick out his trainer guy that he was trying to, like a lot of the team members
right.
were seeing, and maybe it's that.
He had his personal nutritionist slash trainer.
Yeah.
I think everybody in general wants to be appreciated more at work, you know, in their professional life. But there's a lot of people that are appreciate me more than, you know, way more than I ever thought, you know, was possible as part of my life. The people that I work with, they're trying to get the best out of me. So they're trying to treat me in a way that they feel is going to get the best out of me.
I think he got lost a little bit there.
I like him better when he's not talking.
Yeah.
I like the way he plays as a quarterback.
He's nice to look at.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Sean, you ready to...
Oh, we got
to... Oh, I know this one. This is R.E.M.
Yeah, so matter of fact about it, you are.
Darn it.
From the movie...
With Jim Carrey.
By the same name.
Something, Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do I get points for that?
No.
No.
But we finish in a 2-2 tie.
All right. Good
night. Okay, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, when he's not preempted by Mariners baseball on 710 ESPN Seattle. Mariners back home tonight?
Yes, they are.
So you got a show till 6?
Yeah, they got a 3-home stand with
their opponent.
I know it. The Angels are coming. Is it the A's? Yeah, Oakland A's. I knew that.
Okay,
I knew Triggs was on the mound, and I knew he was a pitcher for the A's, but I wasn't quite sure. And then Ohtani comes to town, although I believe he might be injured.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a little banged up. Yeah. All right, you hear Dave every afternoon, and the big lead of 2 is coming up next.